Good evening. Great to be back with you all. Let's open our Bibles. We're going to do our last message from the Alpha Omega series. The Alpha series were the first of alls, and the Omegas are the finallys. So this can be the last one that has that terminology in there, and it's going to be found in 1 Thessalonians, forgive me, chapter 4. Okay. I'll tell you, you know you're getting old when you reach for the loaf of bread above the refrigerator and twist a little bit and pull your back. That actually happened to me. I'm not kidding. So getting up out of the chair has been real exciting the last 24 hours. Yeah, there's a lot of interesting things I found out recently. There's all kind of... I did find out something about, you know, I've told you guys, or many of you didn't know me, I have pretty strong Irish heritage. So I found out that there's a predominant blood type among most Irish people. Do you guys know that? Oh, it's O apostrophe. Okay, so anyway, I had to get it out of the way, you know, bomb right away, get it over with, and move on. Okay, so first, but I had you, didn't I? You guys thought I was really going to tell you. Anyway, so 1 Thessalonians 4, that's where we're at. Let's read. There's actually the first 12 verses go together. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion, like the Gentiles who do not know God. And that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. And to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business, work with your hands, just as we commanded you, so that you will behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the word preserved, where we can flee to build our faith, to strengthen one another in the knowledge of your purpose, your plan, our place in it, the value you have put upon us, and the confidence that you have in us as your people that we will execute it to your glory. Thankful to be before your people tonight. Pray that the message tonight will be designed to encourage, edify, and equip as you want, as the assemblies are designed to do. And if I do it, and I do it well, Lord, and stay true to your word, I do believe that you will be glorified and honored, and the brothers and sisters will be encouraged, will be edified, and will be equipped. So I ask that this would happen so that you'd receive the glory, and I ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. You are the Christ. Amen. All righty. I'm not going to go through all 12 verses. There's no way I'd have enough time. I wasn't planning that, but it's the context. So you have to read it and see what he's talking about. What I want to talk about is primarily verse 1. You know, this verse, it starts out with finally then. You know, this is what remains then, brethren. Remember I told you that's what that word in the Greek means. We request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus. So let's just start kind of breaking it down a little bit. So again, what as Paul would have done to the church in Ephesus, he's doing here to Thessalonians, Thessalonians, however you want to refer to these guys there. The goal is to bring everybody right to the fullness of the stature of the age which belongs to Christ. You know, that's what he's working towards with everybody. In this section here, he's encouraging them to excel still more. This is a very positive body of believers. If you just go and read chapter 1, please not tonight while I'm preaching, but you know, go and read it. You'll see that he speaks very highly, that they were quick to turn from what they were heavily influenced by their culture and other things to Christ, and then they, boom, their voice sounded forth in all of Macedonia, everywhere around them. They were preaching the word, man, and it was well known. See, so there was a definite change, an obvious change in a commitment to Christ, and it was exemplified in their personal example. So he is pleased with these guys. This is one of the earliest letters he writes, too. So this is early on. So they're not going to have all the instruction all the letters are going to produce later on. So you'll see that they have a problem with the second coming of Christ. That's not very clear. And if you understand the timeline in the church history, this would be something that has not been discussed a lot other than Jesus' instruction to the apostles that we have recorded, you know, in Matthew 24 predominantly, and in Mark 13, Luke 21, the parallel passages. So there's not a lot of teaching. So you can see how they would get that, could be easily misled by people that were teaching things like that. So that follows this context we're going to look at tonight. But I just want to talk about, finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord, okay, and excel still more. This instruction that they received, how to walk and to please God. So the English translation here, first of all, where it says we request, it's not like he's making a polite request. This word in the Greek actually communicates that he's entreating, he's beseeching. Now, you look this word up, and you can do it later on your own. You know, you'll see it translated ask, asking a lot. But inherent in the Greek word is there is this drive, this urge, this beseeching, this entreating aspect to it. So when you go back and look at those passages where it translated ask, asking, you know, put in there, we urge you, I beseech you, I would, you know, put those words in and see if it changes the way that comes back to you, that there's a little bit more importance in the things that Jesus said, particularly in the gospel account. So I just wanted to bring that out. First of all, that word is erotao, the verb, erotao in Greek, okay? And so what he's doing is he's beseeching them and he's calling them, right, exhorting them. By the way, exhort, the word parakaleo here, will also be translated in many places in the New Testament, urge. Okay, it will be. It's later on in this book, parakaleo here, which is translated here as exhort, is going to be translated by the translators in New American Standard as urge. So it's kind of context they use to help you understand, you know, what's being communicated, that it's important, all right? So this is a deep desire that he's communicating to them and what he's calling them to. He's calling them alongside to what? To the instruction given in Christ, which he as an apostle has been entrusted with, right? Apostolic teaching. One of the main pillars upon which the Christian faith is built, all right? So if you want to see an example of what I mean, but go to John 4 real quick. I'll just show you a quick example of how this word is used. And this is after Jesus has his little, you know, conversation with the Samaritan woman at the well, discusses worship under the new covenant, right? His disciples show up after he has the conversation. She, you know, she's headed into town to tell everybody about this guy she met that's the prophet, right? So in verse 31, it says, meanwhile, the disciples, Jesus' disciples in John 4, were urging him. Notice it doesn't say we're asking or requesting. You know what I mean when you say, could I make a small request to you? That's different than, hey, I need to urge you to do it. That's different, right? The way it's said, we, okay. That's why I like to get into stuff in the Greek and bring it out to you guys. Say, sometimes it adds to, you know, what you're reading and going, oh, I see there's more, you know, emphasis put here than I realized. Okay, so I just want to pull it out. And these verbs here in this verse 1, almost every one of them except for one, are in the present active indicative. So you got tense, you got voice, and you got mood. Tense is, you know, the present. The voice is active, meaning that, you know, that's you're the individual. The subject is one that's doing the action. And the mood, if it's indicative, means that it's something that's going on presently, but it's for lack of a better way of understanding it, it's something that's factual. It's really happening. It's true, okay? So that's present active indicative. So you're going to see these verbs. He said, finally, brethren, we request and exhort you. These are verbs that are present active indicative. These are things that are ongoing. They're, you know, they're the subject of it. You know, Paul's saying, you know, I'm exhorting you to this, all right? And I want you to understand that indicative mood is this is something that's ongoing, true, factual. Do this. Okay, you're doing it. Keep doing it. That's what he's saying to him. So this is something I like the first letter of Thessalonians really well because I think of you guys a lot when I read this. I really do, especially that first chapter. I go, this is like many of the folks in this congregation. I'm not just saying it to curry points or favor with you. I mean it. You guys, we are a very strong congregation. If you travel around and get in amongst other congregations, you'll find out what I'm saying is true. All right? It's true. All right? So that's their present active indicative verbs. Again, meaning this is an ongoing proposition. What he's saying is we are beseeching you. We are entreating you. We are exhorting you. That's what's coming through in the Greek. That's what they're hearing in a Greek-educated mind and in the language. All right? All right, so now he says how you ought to walk. All right? That is, you receive from us instruction on how you ought to walk. So received instruction, that's paralambano. Right, this word's always great. You know, para means alongside, usually called, you know, near, alongside. That's what para means in the Greek. So this verb actually means to receive near. Lambano can be, there's different ways it can be interpreted, but in this context, it's in a lot of contexts, it's talking about you're receiving something. Lambano. Okay, so it means you're receiving near. What does that mean? It means you're associating yourself, or someone is associating themselves in a familiar or intimate relationship. So what's he saying they're intimate about? The instruction that they've received. How to walk and please God. Why? Because he, in the parenthetical statement there in verse 1, just as you actually do walk. What's he saying? You know this because you're exemplifying it. See, and I feel that way about you. You guys know stuff that's taught from up here and you exemplify it. To me, it's very encouraging. Very encouraging. Right? And he says, that as you receive from us instruction as how you ought to walk. Okay, that word ought, and I look at these things whenever I'm going to do a message, study out the Greek a lot of times. And this is where I get all these inputs that fire off in my brain and I want to feed back to you guys. It's the word, it's spelled D-E-I, die or D-E-I. A derivative of a Greek word, deo, deo, deo. Jesus comes and I want to go home. Right? So there you go. All right, so it means to bind, to knit, to tie, to wind things together. Get the picture? Man, this thing is just interwoven, isn't it? Right? So some translations, well, not many, but some. One of them that we're familiar with, the Rotherhams, would translate this word how you ought. It says how you must walk and please God. Must. So it communicates, right? This is something that is spoken of that is necessary. Knit together, right? So again, I'm painting a picture of this verse for you in your mind. All these word pictures I'm trying to create for you so you can start to read this differently. Not change what God, the general context or communication, but to dive a little deeper in for you guys. See why Paul said, finally, or what remains, here's what I'm going to talk to you about. It's important. Right? So to walk and to please are present active infinitive verbs. Yep, we're going to have an English lesson. All right, so with Greek. All right, so and that, you know, an infinitive is to walk, to run in the English. Okay, and if you're not sure about that, ask my wife. She'll clarify that for you. Okay, she's really good in English. She will say, oh, Kathy's good at that. All right, so to walk and to please are present active infinitive. What's finite? Means there's an end, right? What does infinite mean? Ah, you just figured out an infinitive. There's no end to what's going on here, what he's talking about. This is ongoing, it's habitual, no expected end to this action. Okay, that as you receive from us instruction to how you ought to walk and please God, habit. Oh, how do we know? Again, there's that parenthetical statement that really helps us. Just as you actually do walk. Oh, okay. This is something that's going to keep going on. Nothing's going to ever end. This is the way that Paul sees them, how he's communicating to them, which ultimately is coming to us, right? This is what we want to have said about us. Amen? Just, dude, can you imagine? Hey, you do this and do this, and it's just, you know, it so much reminds me of what the Bible would say a Christian is. And you do just exactly what the Bible says. So be the same thing it said to us, just as you actually do and walk, your conversation, your way of life, everything reflects what Christ has taught in you, and people notice it and communicate that back to you. Paul's saying that to those in Thessalonica. What, pretty high praise. Pretty high praise, right? Pretty high praise to me. So the Greek verb form for the infinitive of to walk is a compound word, peripateo. I like this because peri means around, okay? Usually that's typically what it'll mean, around. And then when you get pateo, it's like you're trampling things. That's what the picture is in the mind of the Greek. I'm just trampling down, and then the guy behind me and the gal behind me coming, they're trampling it down, right? What are you doing? You're creating a path, aren't you? That's what you're doing. So when lots of footsteps, like I said, have been trod, a clear path is revealed. A path's revealed here, isn't it? That they're following. What's going on? So, again, this word is also translated, I wanted to make sure I talk about it. It's translated as conduct, behave. Oh, and there's also, it's communicated or translated in one pretty important passage as prowling about. Who's that talking about? Anybody aware, know where that comes from? Oh, yeah, I heard John say it over there, yeah. Who's prowling about? Who's trampling down a path trying to get to you? Oh, while you're trying to trample down a path that emulates Christ, guess who's right on your tail? Trying to get to you. Yeah, pretty important that we stay on the path, amen? Yeah, pretty important. Because he's waiting for us to get off the path into the weeds. Got us. Right? Now, Thessalonians, this is high praise that Paul's given. Now, there's a couple things he's going to call them to remember and work on going forward because of cultural influence and a little bit of false teaching, which is later on in chapter 4. All right? So, just want to lay that out for you. Let's go to Ephesians 4 real quick. Verse 1. It says, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, this would be Paul to the Ephesian church, implore you to walk, same word, in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility, but it just goes right down. This is the chapter, brethren, that gets to the pinnacle verses there in verses 11, 12, and 13. What are we working towards? Till we all attain to what? The unity of the faith. Isn't unity a big thing in our culture right now? Boy, isn't it amazing how both sides couldn't wait to tear each other up, actually speak about literally killing each other? Now we're talking all about unity after someone came very close to being killed. But we have the opportunity to attain to that unity because somebody was willing to be killed for us. The unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature, which belongs to fullness of God. That's our goal, every Christian. That's what assemblies are all about, brethren. Okay, so the Greek verb infinitive form for to please is aresko. Sounds like aresto, but it's aresko, okay? Literally, this word means to seek to be agreeable to someone or something. I'm going to show you where it's translated that way. Acts chapter 6. Again, I'm putting word ideas in your head that I hope you're going to, hey, agreeable, okay. You know. When people say, well, that person's kind of contrary, or that person's pretty agreeable. You know what I mean? When people say he's pretty agreeable, and I don't mean you're a doormat, people are walking away. I mean, they're saying, you know what, this guy, he's kind of a guy that, you know, he doesn't seek to tear people up, be a mean-spirited guy, he just tends to be really agreeable. Verse 5, Acts 6, verse 5. This is when they, you know, decide they got to devote themselves, prayer and ministry, they were going to select some guys here to take care of the widows, particularly the Hellenistic Jews, all right, widows. The statement found approval in verse 5 of Acts 6 with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, the man, right, found approval with. Okay, it was agreeable. by everybody. But these guys are, we all agree, these guys, let's put them up. All right? That's an example of that. Okay? Back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. All right. So, what can we do to please God? Well, there's lots of information in the New Testament. I'm going to throw out we don't have a lot of time, but keep your finger in 1 Thessalonians 4. If you're in your electronic, you know it's just a back arrow to get to. It's no big deal with most of those types of apps that you have. Let's go to Romans 8. You know, there's some people that have been trained that you want to, in certain other congregations, you ever want to get stuff figured out, you got to go to Romans 8, right? You got to be a Roman 8er, right? If you follow, yeah, like Mike said, follow me if you want to live. Yeah, you got to be a Roman 8er. Hello, anybody awake out there?
Anybody home?
Okay, all right, so Romans 8, here we go. Verse 7 or 6. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit, life and peace. Pretty good principle, right? Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So, all right, if you want to please God, I want to have a spiritual mindset. That was spoken of this morning as well by Nolan. So we do have to start thinking spiritually, don't we? We can't let everything in this physical life just beat us to death. That's what Satan wants. We have to elevate our thinking, get it in the spiritual realm, all right? Always reminding ourselves who we are in Christ, who Christ Jesus is, what our purpose is, how valuable we are to him. He's entrusted these things to us. He has confidence in us that we can get it done. All these great things that are communicated in the New Testament for our benefit, all right? Go over to 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 31. Again, this is a chapter. It says all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. So later on, Paul's going to tell them that, you know, when they get in chapter 13, 14, 15, you know, seek for the things that edify. That's what he's going to say. Verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 10. Whatever then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense. This would be more of an agreeable person, right? Let's be agreeable. Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things. Was Paul a doormat? Far from it. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but that of the many. Why? So that they may be saved. He said, to the Jew, I became a Jew. Right? Whatever it took, he became it. It didn't matter. If he had to forego eating meat while he was around certain people, fine, I'll do it. Didn't bother him. Right? Why? I am seeking not my own profit, but that of the many that he's working with, that they may be saved. And ultimately, he's going to bring glory to God in doing that. All right. That you may excel still more. Back to 1 Corinthians 4. I didn't keep my finger there, sorry. All right. First, did I say 1 Corinthians 4? I meant 1 Thessalonians 4. All right, 1 Thessalonians 4. That you excel still more. All right? Here we go. This is the last part. That you excel still more. Greek verb for the English excel. The word excel, to excel, is perisuo. Remember I told you peri is around? Okay. So this is around or superabound in quantity. We see this as the word translated as surplus, things like that, you know, in the New Testament, surplus. But whenever you see this word, it actually means to superabound in quantity or quality. Well, the Thessalonians were doing this pretty well. If you read that first chapter, right? They were superabounding in their faith and the projection of the message. Their example was resonating in the region in which they lived. Isn't that what we want to be said about us? Hey, man, those guys in Billings, man. Yeah? Yeah. I'd love to have that said about us. I don't know about you guys. I think we're well on the way. We got a lot of people that are being spoken of very highly in this congregation. A lot of young guys coming up. They're awesome. Right? So, all right. So the superabounding quantity or quality. They were doing well in most areas of their lives, right? But what are they called to? Paul says, okay, I'm going to set the standard where it needs to be. Christ Jesus. It's never changed, never gonna. Christ Jesus. Right? That's where I need to call you guys to. Right? So the verb here is in the present active. Remember I told you, present. Okay, active, subjunctive. Now when you get into the subjunctive, there's a few things. Now you guys are going, I'm never going to get. You might. You might find something interesting you're reading, and you'll get out your interlinear or find an interlinear and check it out online. You might. Subjunctive. Let me just tell you a few things about subjunctive. And we've talked about this, mood. It's the mood. You got present is your tense. Active, you know, is your tense. Voice, thank you. And then mood, all right? So this is the mood. All right. So just a little bit of understanding. The verb is in the present active subjunctive. What does that mean? It means there's an ongoing aspect. When you're in the subjunctive mood, not the indicative mood, okay, which is factual, subjunctive is a contingency mood. It is not a factual statement. It's contingent upon something. Does not guarantee it's going to happen, but it says this is what I'm calling you to, or this is what's expected the end result to be. Okay, let me give you a good example of this. Titus. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to show you what I mean. Go to Titus chapter 1. This bugs me when I hear guys talking about eldership, misrepresenting this verse. Okay? Titus 1 verse 5, and I'm going to get on my horse for a little bit because this bothers me, okay? It says, for this reason I left you, this is Paul talking to who? Titus, yeah. He was an evangelist, yeah, okay. I left you in Crete that you would set in order what remains. Well, he's told he's supposed to do that, right? And appoint elders in every city as I directed you. If you check that out, it's in the subjunctive, okay? Appoint elders, all that, as I directed you, namely, or some don't say namely, that's inserted there in the New American Standard in italics. It usually just goes, in every city as I directed you, if. Subjunctive usually has an if-then type of statement attached to it, not always. What does that mean? It means it's predicated upon something happening based on previous things mentioned, right? So guys will get up and say, see, right there, it says that Titus was supposed to appoint elders in every city. That's not what it says. It's subjunctive. And it's saying, this is the end result if, what does it say in the following verses? If any man is above reproach. So if the qualities aren't there, you do not appoint him as an elder. This does not mean there's elders in every city. Now I can go back in Acts 14. I can show you an example of that. Don't have enough time tonight. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get on my horse because this is misrepresented many times in many places. And it creates major division in congregations. And we've seen it here as we watch from a distance in other congregations that got tore up over this idea. All right? It's because guys don't know basic Greek verbs. What would help them to understand that it's not saying this is a statement of fact. It's subjunctive. It is not a statement of fact. Otherwise, it would be present, active, indicative. It is not. Now do you guys see why, Kevin gets fired up about that Greek? There's a reason. There's a reason. All right? So, back to 1 Thessalonians 4. So there's an ongoing aspect that's being communicated. What's the aspect? Superabound in these things that you're already doing. But I want you to understand that it's an ongoing aspect. You're superabounding, but I want the goal to be that you excel still more. Well, you're going, there you go. Well, what else can we do, Paul? You can walk like Jesus Christ. Oh, got it. I don't see him going, got it. It's possible. Paul's saying it's possible. He actually said in chapter 1 they were emulating the Lord in many ways. Right? So, ongoing aspect, expected to be executed by the individual, in this case it's the plural you, to bring about the wanted result. It's not a statement of fact. It's not a statement saying this is going on, like the indicative does, communicates. It's a statement of hope, okay, an exhortation towards a desire to end. It's not a guarantee of it. Y'all with me? It's going to help you to understand this verse, okay, and some other things that are in the New Testament. Okay, so excel still more. There was a couple of things that he's going to talk about in the context that follows that he's going to call them to excel still more. One of them is the issue of, let's just say, adulterous or polyamorous, whatever you want to call it, relationships. You know? These guys came out of a culture that was commonplace, normal. Call them out saying, this is something that you're going to have to pay attention to because culture has a strong pull. Family, all that, right? We've all experienced it. So he goes into that and he says, understand this. Don't try and find a way to say it's okay in the eyes of God. Are there guys out there today that claim to be preachers of Christ that claim that all this stuff's okay? Yes. Yes. Right? So he says, he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. And then he goes on and says, now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to... These guys are really good about taking care of one another. For you yourselves are taught by God to want to love one another, for indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. Oh, but we urge you, brethren, to excel still more and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend your own business, work with your hands, just as we commanded you. So this is the part that, you know, these are the two things that he's talking about. This is what we want you to excel at. You know, continue to love the brethren. Understand that part of this loving the brethren and everything else is you're going to have to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. Don't get nosy about everything. Attend to your own business. Hallelujah. Right? And work with your hands. Doesn't mean you can't be aware of things going on or try to help people, but don't be nosing into things that don't have anything to do with you and start creating problems. All right? Work with your hands, just as we commanded you, so you'll behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. Then he's going to go on and talk about, you know, the misunderstanding about the Lord's second coming, which I don't have enough time to go into tonight. Okay? So, those are the things that are being mentioned here. So, what, you know, we could talk about a lot of things that communicate what it means to excel as Christians. I'm just going to give you some verses. Go check them out. Just some, I'm going to give you five quick. I'm not going to read them. Matthew 5:20 has to do with righteousness. 1 Corinthians 14:12. Remember I told you later on in 1 Corinthians he's going to tell them, seek for the things that edify? That's exactly what he's telling them there. 1 Corinthians 14:12. You want to excel as a Christian? Seek for things that edify. 2 Corinthians 8:7. Supporting the saints. Not just monetarily, just supporting the saints. Just being there, all right? It's monetary there in context, but it's about supporting the saints. Philippians 1:3-11. Preaching of the gospel and things associated with that. All right? Colossians 2:7, attitude of gratitude. These are just some things. Now, some of the verbs in there are going to be the superabounding verbs. Not in every passage, but some are in there. Right? These are things he wants you to superabound in. What are some of the benefits to us as God's people? Romans 15:13 says we get this superabounding hope. Awesome. Ephesians 1:7-11. Grace, favor, space to grow, superabounding stuff. All right? So these are some of the things I just want to leave you with. But understand this verse. Finally, brethren, what remains? We request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus. And I'm saying this to you now, to you, church in Billings, that as you receive from us, now there are those in leadership that come up here and do all that we can, the men that take the opportunity to come up front, do all they can to encourage you, right? How you ought to walk and please God. Paul was an apostle in the church. He was a leader in the church. There are leaders in the local congregation. Ephesians 4 talks about that, right? How are we supposed to view these clowns? I mean, these guys. Let me see. verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 5. But we request of you, brethren, there's that word again, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren. And he goes on to give a list. That urge there is that one that's previously translated exhort in verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians 4. Now, many people lead others. Sunday school teachers, you ladies that have some of the younger kids, you are looked upon as a leader. All right? Those children come to appreciate you. My wife spent 25 years in a Christian school here. And I told her for years, when she was going through all that and the kids weren't always that easy to work with. I know that's a shock to you guys. Kids aren't always easy to work with. All right? I was shocked by it too. But anyway, I used to encourage, Kathy, they're going to come back later in life. They're going to tell you how important you were to them. And I'm telling you, it's happened. It's happened for her. So all you that work with younger people, the guys that do the Friday Night Fellowship, I just want to, you guys are looked upon as leaders, teachers, whatever. I appreciate you. They will appreciate you too. So I just want to urge us, brethren. We request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from whoever instructions as to how you ought to walk and please God, as long as it's coming out of this Word of God, just as you actually do walk, and many of you, you're awesome. All of you are awesome. That you excel still more. Right? That's my picture of you guys. It's a picture of the church we all should have. Amen? Let's close with prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this really positive picture that you paint for us. I am very appreciative for what's communicated here. This is what is possible when the church buys in, when a congregation buys in 100%. These are the kinds of accolades that come from those that are trying to lead them, those that have led them. And again, this is a representation of the things that can be done that bring pleasure to you, Lord God. These are things that we habitually engage in, understanding what really matters is what is pleasing to you and not pleasing to men. So I'm just grateful again that you've given us the opportunity through the gospel message to be a part of your kingdom, to be put into place, so to speak, to understand that we are your inheritance just as you are ours. You value us incredibly just as we value you. And together we work this plan to bring glory and honor to you and to help to secure our spot in heaven where we get to spend an eternity with you. Just grateful again for the brothers and sisters in Christ, for everyone here that labors amongst us in so many ways. Some do it in the background, not known by many, but I know there are many that do so many things that are so appreciated. Maybe not publicly they are getting that appreciation, but they should know they are appreciated. More so not just by me, but by you, Lord, and valued. So thank you again that you paint this incredible picture and that you tell us that we can make it to the fullness of the stature, the measure which belongs to you, Lord Jesus. It is in your name that we pray. You are the Christ.